بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم. وقال تعالى: إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable brothers and friends in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we draw close to the days of Hajj, the days of Qurbani, the personality that we hear very often would be that of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. The life, the struggles, the qualities, the sacrifices of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was that one single individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to in the Quran Sharif as Inna Ibrahima kana ummah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is an ummah. That one person, how can this constitute a group of people? He is one individual. Many explanations, tafsir, but one is that he was an embodiment of many characteristics, qualities that we can all learn and bring into our lives. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he was, if we look into his life from the very beginning to the end, then his life was a personification of submission. That his entire life was submission to a higher command, submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we see glaring even in the mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama explain and say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when ascending the skies and the heavens, going to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then on the sixth heaven did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meet Nabi Musa alayhi salam. On the seventh heaven was Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, he receives this gift of salah. 50 salah was the initial gift. As we are all familiar with the incident, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes down and descends. The Nabi that tells him to go back and ask for some concession and discount was Nabi Musa alayhi salam. So ulama explain and say that if we are descending, then the first personality should have been Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. But the second personality on the sixth heaven was Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And he's the one that's telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go back and ask Allah, your ummah will not manage 50. I've been through this process with Banu Israel. 50 is a lot, it's a very tall order. To and fro eventually, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given the gift of 5 salah. But the question ulama ask, what happened to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam? Why Nabi Musa alayhi salam says go back? Because Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, if we look into his life, irrespective of the command and the challenge that was given to him, immediately, sami'na wa ata'na. We accept this command, O my Allah. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, O Ibrahim, will you please surrender and submit before me? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's response was, Aslamtu li rabbil alameen. Definitely we will submit. We are ready to
bow our heads in front of any command. When Ibrahim alayhi salam declared his submission, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tests him in his life. That your father will be abusive. He'll talk against the deen of Allah. Now you need to abandon your father and leave the city, your place of birth, your city of birth, leave it. And he leaves the city. And then eventually Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah bless him in the ripe old age, difference of opinion. Generally we see around late 80s, early 90s, 86 years old, some say 91 years old. Allah blesses him with a son at a very ripe old age. Then the test is, slaughtered the son for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No questions. No going back to ask his wife, I need to make mashwara. Is really this dream correct? Maybe I had it after Fajr. The one before Fajr is better. No, immediately, the command of Allah, I have to slaughter. And every life, every stage in the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was total submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is important for every one of us. As fathers, as grandfathers, as seniors in the community, that we need to be embodiments of qualities, for this will filter down the bloodline. Subhanallah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was the personality who was sammakumul muslimin, that the believers should be called muslimin. The deen of Islam, we are Muslim. We've given this title of being Muslim, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We are from that progeny, from the progeny, meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is from the progeny of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam via Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. And this glaring quality of submission was found deep rooted in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam also. If we look in the battle of Hudaybiyah, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the entire battle, the clauses of the treaty, all in favor of the kuffar against the Muslims. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ready for everything. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is coming in the battle of Hudaybiyah, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on his camel, the Qaswa, and the brothers are, the Qaswa, the camel of Rasulullah SAW stops. It's not going any further. Very close to Hudaybiyah. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, Khala'atil Qaswa, Khala'atil Qaswa. Qaswa is stubborn, doesn't want to move. They're trying to prod it and move, it wouldn't move. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma khala'at. This camel of mine is not stubborn. Walaysa laha bi khuluq. This is not the quality of this animal. وَلَكِنْ حَبَسَهَا حَابِسُ الْفِيلِ. That supreme being who stopped the elephants from attacking, he is the being who's withholding and stopping my camel even from entering Makkah Mukarrama. Sahaba Radim, Nabi Sam says, right, this is where we will camp. They came, they said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are on a disadvantage, we're in a place where there isn't even water. Nabi Sam takes out one arrow from the quiver. He says, take this to the well and throw it in. Some narrations, Nabi Sam spat into it. Till today you go to Hudaybiyah, they can show you that well. When Sahaba radiallahu anhum threw that spear into the well, immediately the water came to the surface. And they were drawing water from that well. And as long as they were in Hudaybiyah, this well was flowing with water. As long as Sahaba were there. When they submitted to the command of Allah, then there was khayr, there was ease, there was barakah, there was comfort for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Then comes the time we are about to sign the treaty, and all of the clauses of the treaty are at disadvantage against the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu comes, and he's tied up in chains, in shackles, and he throws himself in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the chief negotiator of the kuffar, he's addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَوَّلُ مَنْ أُقَاضِيكَ. This is the first bone I have to pick. That this person, you have to return him. No chance you keep in him. Nabi Salam says, we busy negotiating. We haven't signed the treaty as yet. So there can be one exception, one exemption. Let him go. After him, we won't accept any person who wants to become a Muslim. However, the kuffar were very headstrong on this clause, and they said, no, we're not going to even accept one exception. Nabi Salam says, but listen, overlook him. They said, no, not even one person. So Nabi Salam says, Abu Jandal, you have to go with the kuffar. You cannot come with us as the Muslims. Abu Jandal says that, وَرَدُّ إِلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَقَدْ جِئْتُ مُسْلِمًا. Are you all going to return me to the mushrikeen? I have come as a Muslim. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was fuming. He comes, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَسْتَ نَبِيًا عَلَى الْحَقِّ? O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you not the Nabi on the truth? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Naam, I am the Nabi on the truth. أَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَعَدُوُّنَا عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ? Are we not on the truth and they on batil? Yes, Umar, correct, rightfully so. We are on the right, they are on the wrong, they are on batil. So, فَلِمَ نُعْتِ الدَّنِيَّ فِي... Why are we just submitting to all of this? Let's stand our ground and keep Abu Jandal. Nabi Sam says, oh Umar, there's a higher command, there's a bigger picture. We may lose the battle, but we have to win the war. So no problem, this one situation, there is a bigger picture for us. Let's give in to this. It's okay, it's the clause. Allah has got some khair for us. There is some khair to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verses of Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina were revealed. Sahaba are thinking to themselves, Hudaybiyah clauses all against the Muslim. What fath is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about? Where's the conquest? Eventually, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back to Madinah Tayyibah. And while in Madinah Tayyibah, very soon after that, Abu Basir radiallahu anhu comes. He escapes from the people of Makkah Mukarrama, becomes a Sahabi, and he comes to Madinah Munawwara, he takes refuge. And hot on his heels are two kuffar. They're coming in pursuit of him. Because this is against the clause, he's not allowed to join the Muslim army. He has to come back. So the kuffar come, they enter the masjid, says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we came to collect Abu Basir. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abu Basir. As Nabi Sam is about to speak to him, he realizes that Nabi Sam is going to return me to the kuffar. So the kuffar come, he says, Abu Basir, we cannot keep you, you'll have to return. So immediately they apprehend him, they catch him, they tie him up, and they take in him back to Makkah Mukarrama. En route to Makkah Mukarrama, Abu Basir, he starts thinking of, how can I free myself from their clutches? What can I do? So he says, okay, let me think, maybe this will work. So he tells one of the two, he says, Wallahi inni la'ara sayfaka hadha jayyidan. The sword of yours, subhanallah, looks lovely, man. So that kafir says, yeah, this sword of mine, this year is very good. I've used it, tried, tested, killed a lot of people with it. So he says, oh, wow, very good sword. Can I just like flash it a little and have a look at it? He says, by all means. So they open him up, they say, yeah, yeah. So they thought now he's one of them. So he took the sword, he's playing around with it, and he hits one of them, he kills him. The other person says, I'm alone, I can't stand my ground. He runs for refuge to Madinah Tayyibah. The kafir is running to Madinah Munawwara, subhanallah. Imagine in those days, they would come to the Muslim when they wanted a just decision. They came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This person is panting, running, coming into the masjid. Nabi Sam said, لَقَدْ رَعَ هَذَا ذُعْرًا. This person has seen something very scary. Let's check up what happened. He comes, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my friend is killed, I'm dead. So look at him, what do you mean you're dead? He says, I'm amongst the Muslim. This man is going to kill me. What happened? He says, Oh Abu Basir. He says, Oh Abu Basir. Okay. As he comes, Abu Basir, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَدْ أَوْفَ اللَّهُ ذِمَّتَكْ رَدَّتَّنِي إِلَيْهِمْ ثُمَّ أَنْجَانِي اللَّهُ مِنْ. You return me, you've done your duty and responsibility, Allah saved me. So I came back. Allah said, this is Allah's plan now. So I am back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Abu Basir, وَيْلُ أُمِّهِ مُسْعِرُ حَرْبٍ لَوْ كَانَ لَهُ أَحَدٍ. He says, Oh, woe to you, Abu Basir. This is going to start a big fight and a war. If ever we're going to keep you, if there was only someone to be there for you. Abu Basir realized, listen, Nabi Sam is going to return me. He says, before that happens, I'd rather run. So he ran and he went to a coastal, on the coastal route to one of the areas, and he took residence. Eventually, whoever amongst the kuffar embraced the deen of Islam, and were barred from entering Medina Munawwara as per the agreement, all grouped up in this area. They all heard Abu Jandal, Abu Basir, they all have grouped up, and there is a substantial amount of Muslims now. They're not in Medina Munawwara due to the treaty, we need to uphold it. And they have formed their own clique, they're together. These Sahaba radiallahu anhum realized that how can we inflict injury on the kuffar? What can we do? So they started attacking all the caravans of the kuffar because that was the trade route. When they attacked the caravan and it was an economic pinch to the kuffar, he said, listen, give them permission to join the Muslims, at least we can continue with business. So sometimes that can be some tact. It can be a strategy if the Muslims unite and we come together focused, united with a mission, and we know what we are doing, and we have second options, and we're not shooting ourselves in the foot, and we are a united voice. This can mean something when we are united. So eventually they said, tell those Sahaba, go to Medina Munawwara. Whoever wants to become Muslim, no problem. We're not going to stop you. As long as our business continues, it mustn't affect business. But the lesson is eventually Fath Makkah took place not very long, within 3 years. The treaty was a 10-year treaty. Sahaba said, what Fathun is this? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, مَا كَانَ فَتْحٌ أَعْظَمَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ سُلْحِ الْهُدَيْبِيَةِ. There wasn't a greater conquest in Islam as compared to Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. But that was a treaty. What conquest was it? When we realize that we have to submit to Allah, Allah gave us the victory. We have to submit. Does it make sense? Doesn't it make sense? Whether it makes sense or not, we have to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us and every one of us that ability that we bring, this quality of ittiba, of submission, and we become true Muslim. That whether it be inheritance, whether it be the distribution of the inheritance, we wouldn't say. But see, Mulana, that decision that Allah made was for that time and the women were oppressed. Nowadays, it's a different situation. The Sharia doesn't need to dictate my distribution of inheritance. I'll do what I need to do. How often isn't it the case, ulama are dealing with cases, now it's a fight with an Islamic will against the law of the state, because they are saying that we want everything according to the law of the land, and I have written this, my wife will not get, na'udhu billah. Allah give us tawfiq that wholeheartedly we accept the deen of Islam, that we become true Muslims, and we holistically follow the deen of Islam. There is another word, they call it acquiescence. That means when a person follows suit, he does something unwillingly. His heart is not in it. Example, the husband may phone the wife and say, listen, I'm bringing 30 friends home and I want the meat marinated. She's not willingly doing it. She's not happy. Grudgingly she does it, and everyone feels, wow, what a wonderful wife he's got. That she marinated 30 kilos of meat or whatever amount of kilos of meat for the friends, and what a lovely bride we had. But deep down she is cursing this husband. You see, you could have bought it, so many friends. Now late in the afternoon you're phoning me, making life difficult. You know supper was confirmed with my parents. You cancel all of that just for the friends. So that's not submission. When someone comes, we know how important submission is in our social structures and our economic structures. If there isn't total submission, any boss, any employer, you think of someone who's working in your office, not even in your office, in your environment, working for you, you pay him a salary, but he comes grudgingly. Doesn't wear a smile on his face. You tell him to do something, he gives a smirk, and he turns around and he gives you an arrogance. Will you ever keep such a person? Allah forgive us. Are we not having such attitude at times with the deen of Allah, with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah give us total tawfiq inshallah that we bring these qualities into us. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, this incident, Ibn Abi Dunya narrates it, and he, in his kitab As-Sabr, that Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, one day he asked Jibreel alayhi salam, Dullani ala a'badi ahli al-ard. Show me who's that person on surface earth today, who's the greatest abid, worshipping you second to none. There isn't anyone worshipping Allah like him. So Jibreel alayhi salam, he directs Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, he takes him to a person. This person, both his hands are severed and his legs. No legs, no hands. So Yunus alayhi salam comes, person doesn't know, and he's telling Allah, Ya Rabbi, he's making dua Allah. Ya Allah, you gave me two hands, you gave me two legs. As long as I had it, I made ibadat, you took it away. Alhamdulillah, you gave me, alhamdulillah, you took it away. So he is saying, Oh Jibreel, I'm talking about someone ibadat. This person over here is making shukr. Where's the ibadat? So he says, Oh Jibreel, is there anyone else that's a greater abid than a buzruk? So he says, this is the person. And oh Yunus, he doesn't have two hands, he doesn't have two legs. Allah just gave me the command, I need to take his eyesight away. Jibreel alayhi salam just made one ishara, his eyeballs melted away. Yunus alayhi salam is looking at him, cannot believe it. He says, Jibreel, now what's happening? This person turns to Allah. And he says, Oh my Allah, you gave me eyesight as long as I had it. Now you took it away. Alhamdulillah, you took it away also. Yunus alayhi salam comes to this person. He says, Why, all okay? You don't have legs, you don't have hands. Now you don't have eyesight. And you thanking Allah. Come see here. We all make dua. Jibreel alayhi salam is here. We make dua. Allah restore your hands. Allah restore your legs. And he restores your eyesight. He says, Brother, please, whoever you are, don't make the dua. Don't ever make the dua. He says, but why not? He says, if amma idha kanat mahabbatuhu fi dhak, if Allah's happiness is in me not having hands and legs, then that is the most beloved thing to me. If Allah is happy with it, I'm happy. We have to bring the total happiness for every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and every sunnah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Now this quality of submission eventually comes down in that bloodline. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is blessed. Allah blesses him with the son, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. He would come and visit now and then. On one of his visits he came. Nabi Ismail alayhi salam is married. So he comes. Hadith appears in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. So he comes and he says, knocks on the door. A lady comes out, a young pretty girl. So he looks at her and he says, Who are you? She says, No, I am the wife of so and so. I'm looking for Ismail. He says, No, he's gone out. Okay, how's life? So she says, Nahnu fi shidda. Life is difficult. We are in very difficult times. Things are hard. And she complained. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam heard the whole story. Then he tells her, When your husband comes back, give him a message. أَيُّغَيِّرَ عَتَبَ بَابِهِ Tell him he must change the door stoop. Tell him to change the doormat. He must change it. Okay. Ismail alayhi salam comes in the afternoon. Normal talk with the wife. One visitor came. Who is that? Oh, an old man. That old, we'll say that Bali came, you know, the toppy. So, okay, what he said? No, he asked me about life. I told him things are very bad in our life. And I complained to him. Okay, what advice he gave you? He says, no, must change the doormat. Oh, that's my father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. He asked me to divorce you. He says, you complain too much. That's not the right wife. Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, no further questions. Divorces his wife. And then he gets married to someone else. Then the father comes after a few years again. Knocks on the door. Ismail alayhi salam, not at home. Again, how's everything? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Well, what's your daily food? No, we eat meat. And what do you all drink? We drink water. Simple, we are very simple people. How's life? Alhamdulillah, bi khair. Everything is very good, alhamdulillah. Nothing to complain about. MashaAllah. When your husband comes back, give him a message. Tell him that he must just keep his doormat. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam comes. So again, some talk. He says, some old man came. But he was a very nice man. He was a man, you know, who looked very good. He says, okay, what did he ask you? How's life? I made shukr to everything. What did he tell you? He says, I must maintain my doormat. He says, that's my father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. He asked me to keep you as the wife. Total submission. Father said, finished. Whatever the father said, Allah forgive, Allah grant tawfiq to all the youngsters. Don't come home with the wife and say, Papa, I'm getting married to her. No, don't bring home. You have to go on the samosa run. You have to check up. You have to go with your parents. They have to sanction it. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Back in the days, that's why the nikahs are the older nikahs, the older models are lasting today. The older models. Why they maintaining today? Because Papa said must marry in that family. Mummy gave me her blessings. That's why I got married in this family. They got the duas of their parents. And today, they don't have the parents' duas. Better you can't get married here. No, you can't. And so often isn't it the case. My parents weren't happy, but anyway, I realized it. I realized it. Bhai, you got two children now. So easy just to break the house. So easy. Got two children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant tawfiq. Recently, one person passed away, one youngster. And this youngster, he had a dream. So his dream was amazing. Many dreams he had. And he was a very, some lessons for the youngsters. And lessons for every one of us. So he was in hospital and he phoned one day and he says, Mufti Sahib, can you talk? So he says, I'm a little bit busy now, but I'll phone you back. So he phoned him back. He says, please, urgently, urgently, I'm in hospital. I need the interpretation of this dream. He said, no problem. Inshallah, we'll give you the interpretation. He mentioned his whole dream and got the interpretation. And then the Maulana is saying, Maulana, how close are you to that friend? I say, I'm very far. He's in another city. I'm in Durban. But like that, we talk. We do speak when there's issues. He says, okay, in a roundabout way, try and get him to do amal and clean up life. So I say, Maulana, like, what are you trying to insinuate? Is there some ishara in this dream? He says, no. Allah knows best. Life is in Allah's control. But give him some advice. So he phoned him. We told him, no, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, very good dream. You know what, you must start reading, you know, istighfar 70,000 times. Try and read it for yourself. He says, but I didn't tell him 70,000. I told him, see, today read 1,000 istighfar, I'm phoning you tomorrow. So I phoned him the next day. He said, Maulana, yesterday I read 3,000 istighfar. Anything else? So I said, no, continue with the istighfar. Maulana, you're trying to get to any amount? So I said, yeah, I'm trying to get to 70,000. Okay, I know where you're going. 70,000, I finish read it. 70,000, youngster, I finish read 70,000. Anything else I can do? So we gave him certain things to read for his well-being, etc. Allah grant him complete shifa. And then he had a dream that he's holding Quran Sharif in his hand. And he's trying to come out of his bed. And he's sleeping with his father. So the interpretation was, this fellow listens to his father and he loves his father. Sleeping in the bed with his father. So his father is saying, better, it's all okay, relax. You see, dad, I need to go now. I need to go, someone's waiting for me. So, and then the father looks in that direction, he doesn't see. But the son can see. Son is looking in that direction, he says, oh, mommy is waiting for me, I need to go. So there was some ishara in that. That he is about to pass away. His mother is waiting for him. Mother is marhuma. But anyway, this boy, Durood Sharif on a Friday, 1,000 was his daily checklist. His Juma checklist. Had to read it. Holding Quran Sharif in his hand, he told Papa, Papa, see, I need to go. I'm on a mission. I need to move now. But listen, I'm leaving Quran Sharif with you. If you want to meet me where I am going, you'll have to read a lot of Quran Sharif. If you want to meet me where I'm going, you must read a lot of Durood Sharif. And he was the person, after asking the father, he says, this son, and Quran Sharif was his day and night. Salah never missed. Salah was never missed. So we asked him, as we were talking, is there any qada? See, you in hospital, you can read Salah on the bed, don't worry about that. You can, however you can make with ishara, you must continue with Salah. He said, Mawlana, Alhamdulillah, there's no qada Salah. Alhamdulillah, no qada Salah. But the lesson in the entire thing was Salah never to be missed, love for Quran Sharif, and Durood Sharif on a daily level, inshallah. Allah give all of us children like that. Make us children to our parents also that are totally obedient, that have that love for our parents and take the advice of our parents seriously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.